you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hanging out at one of our favorite places, guys. It's the Taj Mahal Hooters. Yeah. Is like what we like to call it. It is the Hooters Mall of Georgia location. We're up here today hanging out. We'll be here next week as well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Tomorrow we're at Buffalo's Cafe in Flowery Branch. Mike, from our man Big Debo ATL, as we were talking about the Falcons, he says, I told y'all Mike Bell was coming. I told y'all, the hype man is back. He's saying you're hyping the Falcons up. You're back, Mike.
I was just talking to our two buddies at the bar. And this guy, he's excited about the Falcons. This man is pragmatic. He goes,
why?
He's got to see it.
Why?
Because he's got Falcon – actually, it's FDS, Falcon Derangement Syndrome.
Okay.
Because of the 30 years of being kicked in the nuts every year by this team and having his heart broken.
Yeah.
And so that's – you know, and again – you know,
but we keep coming back, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We keep coming back.
It's like Charlie Brown with Lucy in the football.
Yeah.
You know, we know where it's going. But I do think if this team – again, it's all about Penix. If Penix can – You know, not give you too many turnovers, because rookie's gonna. It's still a part of his rookie experience, Carl. Right?
It is.
Three games in.
It is.
If he's not throwing interceptions and they can score three or four touchdowns, you know, 28 points, 24 to 28 points is the benchmark you got to get to, and that takes the pressure off the defense, and then that allows them to go pin their ears because other teams become one dimensional.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Those guys also, by the way, they said they're more interested in hearing what your top four sandwiches are.
Oh, French dip. Start there.
Your Mount Rushmore sandwiches.
Let's start.
Courtesy of Stephen Steak Shapiro.
let's
radio programmer. And
let's start at French dip. He's not programming anymore.
No, but he's programming today's show.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He is programming this show today with what he said earlier.
Would you go Ruben?
It's about to sound like Steak. I like a good Reuben.
You know what? And by the way,
I do. I like a good Reuben.
I didn't know Reuben until I worked with Steak at the old 790.
No, they're
Steak,
great.
Steak introduced me to the world of Reuben.
Yeah. Really I would also tell you, like, in my top four, BLT, man. I'm a huge BLT guy. Like, if you can get a good BLT.
Crisp bacon.
Oh, right. Delicious.
But is a meatball sub a sandwich?
No, it is not.
So is it not part of the sandwich?
That is not a sandwich,
okay.
Sir. No way. Because you're going to eat that with a fork. It's not a sandwich.
No self-respecting American eats a meatball sub with a fork.
Well, you're going to – it's going to fall apart as soon as you lift it up.
Go to that grilled cheese.
So that's on my list, too.
See, grilled cheese and bacon.
That's my list.
You know, we were at Waffle House, and the other day when I was – it was a couple months back. I was over in Alabama, my buddy's house at the lake. And we're over there, and just a grilled cheese with bacon, giddy up. You can't beat that, man. That's perfect.
Grilled cheese with especially if you do sourdough bread. I'm just telling you, man. Like, that's a whole nother level. Then you start adding stuff onto that.
But now you sound like my grandma. Fresh baguette, some Gruyere.
I'm just telling
Canadian
you.
Canadian bacon.
The more cheese, the different cheeses you can put on a grill. Look at this show. The more cheeses.
Wow.
The more cheeses, thank you guys at the bar.
Steak Shapiro's influence on Dukes and Bell, the Mount Rushmore of sandwiches.
I'm telling you that you cannot go wrong. Like, some people like just a basic, you know, grilled cheese, like with the government, that government cheese.
Government cheese.
Not that government cheese.
No,
I'm talking about the
real
cheese.
And bacon. But no, so let's review. Reuben.
Yes.
BLT.
Yes.
French dip.
Grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese.
Correct.
There you go, we wrapped it up.
Sorry to cut you off. I'm not that sorry, because I want to say something else.
And the Houston's French dip is still one of my faves.
Oh, it's delicious.
That French dip at Houston's has money. Man.
Oh, they do a good job, man.
Right.
Big Debo ATL. He just said the reason why he said that you're back as far as the hype guy is concerned.
Right.
And we're going to tell you what we saw at practice. You'll hear AJ Terrell and the conversation with the morning shift coming up here in less than 10 minutes. Mike's got some guy talk coming up as well. But he said, did you hear Mike Bell say it's like Montana to Rice when talking about Penix to Drake London.
And
he said, I told you the hype man is back.
And I did that just because I knew where it was coming to have fun with it. But we're talking about, that's where we're hoping it goes. It's not there, but we're talking about it. Practice every day. How many? Five or six?
Yeah, at least.
I mean, just absolutely seamless, in the pocket, with pressure, boop, to Drake London. And it could be a crossing route. It could be a go route. You know, we've already seen him do the fade to the corner that Matt and Julio never mastered. We've already seen that happen already.
Yeah, they got that down.
You know, in week 18, it was against Carolina.
Kyle had a nice catch today in the end zone as well.
But that's what we're looking for. I mean, I still think as much as Matt and Julio accomplished, I was still wanting more in the red zone.
I agree. It just didn't happen as frequently. 20-20, we were great. We moved the football, and I would have loved to have seen more touchdowns. But you know what? That ship has sailed.
Right.
We need to see what Drake and Michael can do. But, yeah, I find that funny, man. But appreciate you, Big Debo ATL, hitting us up. Follow us on social media, guys.
I just hit him up. I said, set it just for you, man.
Yeah, because when you said it, it dawned on me. But he's like, did you hear what said?
What,
Montana to Rice?
It's the greatest combination of all times. And if all goes well, we will have one of those here.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I mentioned Peyton Manning to Marvin Harrison.
That's right.
You know, plus they had Reggie Wayne. We had a bunch of dudes. But right now, that's where we're aspiring to be. You know, I mean, we just – want to be where in the world of football we have an offense that fans want to see. We want to see equal amount of fans wearing jerseys from the defense and the offense. And we're hoping that Pierce is going to be that guy. More scrapping today at practice too, by the way.
Yes, there was. And by the way, we will tell you more about the O-line situation because it's not a situation. This is just – it's load management, guys. You're going to rest some vets. You're going to make sure that they're getting the proper care that they need. So we'll get into that as well here on the show. But right now, let's talk some dogs. Is Myra still sitting over there? Mike, I went to the bar, and it's her birthday today. Is she still?
It's your birthday. Hey, girl.
Happy birthday to you.
Hello.
All right, thank you guys for coming out. Fellas, give her a big round of applause right there. It's your birthday.
We got a stripper for you. Jim, right here. Jim, go do your thing, man. Get a character.
Come on, man. He's not at work.
Come on, Jim. Let's go.
He's not at work right now.
I know.
He does that only at work.
I know.
Well, unless she's got some money for him. then he might do it. But
his costume is very unique today. It's a middle-aged Falcons fan.
It's true. But happy birthday to you. Thank you for guys for coming by. We appreciate you guys stopping by and hanging out with us. All right, Mike. Aaron Murray, former dog quarterback, says that Lenore Sellers would be his pick quarterback if he had to choose between him, Drew Allard
from Penn State,
Cade Klubnik,
Clemson.
And Garrett Nussmeier.
Ooh, now at LSU. I mean, finally having the reins at LSU all is. Yeah.
This, to me, is a strong statement about Lenore Sellers, who, again, I think last year kind of took college football by storm. This is why I love South Carolina. He is a dude. But to say you take him over these guys, Drew Allard has a cannon. This is why I think Penn State's going to be in the national championship, guys. I'm saying that. I'm picking him to come out of the Big Ten. I don't know what SEC team's going to be there. And then Cade Klubnik.
Doesn't Lenore Sellers have to evolve more as a thrower?
Yeah, but I think he's so dangerous.
I mean, I love his game. You know, we're big fans of Beamer Ball.
I think he's so dangerous.
Okay.
He is literally that dual threat. You always, you know, you dream about having because he can't throw the football. But Cade had a terrific year last year. Dogs beat the snot out of him. I get that. Go look at how Clemson responded. They did not fall apart, and they got better as the year went along.
Did lose to South Carolina, though, that
at the end of the season.
Lenore Sellers and company.
And then Garrett Nussmeier, man, everybody's talking about him like he's the next coming of Joe Burrow at LSU. We will see. But if LSU's going to do anything, Nussmeier has to have an amazing season. Hey, would you take Sellers over those other three guys?
I love Sellers' game, but I think he'd be more complete thrower, a little bit better throwing the football, more than 18 touchdowns. He attempted 299 passes. So I think it need a little bit more in that department, and perhaps that's going to evolve.
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing I think I could say for Lenore Sellers. He's further down the road than Milroe was. Milroe regressed last year, and Alabama suffered. And now Milroe's—he's not going to do anything in the pros.
That, Seattle.
You know, good luck with that. But they're going to have to reinvent his throwing motion, just like you know we've talked about. You know, perhaps Shador Sanders. Maybe Cleveland's going to do that with him. But as far as this group of players, I think I would go Klubnik over Sellers, just because Klubnik can go vertical.
Yeah, he can.
But again, Sellers is a hell of a package, man. You're right.
He is. It's an interesting statement from Dogs quarterback Aaron Murray because it tells you, you know, as he's watching these guys, what's going on. By the way, we mentioned this earlier. We do have Georgia Tech, Georgia tickets. We have a pair for you. Invesco QQQ Atlanta Gridiron Classic. It's happening Friday, the 28th of November at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So stay tuned. We're going to give those away between now and 6 o'clock. But that is a game, Mike, and we're months away. But my guess is it's going to have a lot at stake for either team. We're not sure where Tech's going to be, but, you know, again, now you're talking about playing for something and maybe knocking somebody off.
That LSU-Clemson game, of all the big opening weekend games, that's one I can't wait. It's like week two for them. For week one for LSU, and Brian Kelly is yet to win the season opener for the Tigers of LSU. By the way, Klubnik, my boy D., not D. Led, but this is our buddy D. Berger. He lives over in Ocean. He lives by the Ocean Course in Kiowa. Big Clemson guy, was a walk-on there. He just texted me. He goes, don't forget. He goes, Klubnik ran for four. Let's see what I'm looking at. 463 yards last year.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So we can pick him up and put him down as well.
Yeah, no, I look.
Sellers runs over people.
He does. He's big. Yeah. I like Kate Klubnik a lot, and that's why I think Clemson will be in the top four and in the playoff this year. But I also love their defense. But they have a quarterback who's coming back with a goal in hand, man. And we've been talking about this. You'll hear A.J. Terrell talk about his brother who's on that defense at Clemson. He's playing corner. He has the potential to be a first-round pick as well. All of a sudden, Dabo's restocked. Like, it feels like this might be 2015, 16, 17 Clemson, right? When we were watching them, Mike, ascend, and everybody's like, okay, is this a one-year wonder? And it wasn't. It was like them and Alabama were on top of the college football world. It feels like Clemson has kind of gotten back there with this team they got bringing back.
Everybody's talking about the running game. You know, they got physical specimens at running back, guys that look like X-Men, defensive line we talked about in the trenches. So maybe Dabo, it's going to be not as extreme as the old Paul Johnson model where you knew that every 4 years they'd have a good team. But in this world, if he's expanded now to the transfer portal, but a lot of Clemson fans are saying it's got to be this year.
Yeah.
It's got to be this year for them to take it all the way.
Because the quarterback situation, like you don't get guys to come back like this after having the kind of season that Kate had. Meanwhile, Georgia Tech's defensive front is key, guys. We're talking about this because Tech may have, for the first time in a long time, a couple of first-round potential draft picks, Mike, on that D-line front. And we've not talked a lot about it. Next time we get Coach Key on, trust me on this. This is why people are picking them as high as they are in the ACC. They have a couple of guys that are difference makers up front. And when's the last time we talked about that with Georgia Tech? Years past, it was they were too small. Teams ran the ball on them.
You had to make the transition from that,
correct,
you know, from all the zone blocking and obviously the triple option to what they do now, which is NFL pro style.
Yeah, but I'm talking about on the defensive front.
Right.
These
and
guys,
they were getting thrown around because
they were.
You're right. The guys you were practicing, because you always felt like you're never going to get to the NFL playing defense. That was part of the knock.
I really like what they have on the defensive side, and we'll see. I mean, like, if they can turn people over and put up points, it's going to be an interesting year for Georgia Tech. But I'm just saying that's something to go into the start of the season and watch. By the way, we have two kickoff games here, right, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Yeah, Syracuse, we love Fran Brown. And those guys, talk about physical. And again, very quiet, maybe not so quietly. And they beat Georgia Tech, and they made it all about physicality in that game. But Fran Brown and Syracuse, hey, you know what? We're looking for some picks. I'll tell you right now, I think Syracuse can beat Tennessee. That'd be a tough loss for UT to start the season.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Again, Carl went to the University of Texas, Austin. Isn't that UTA?
No, it is not. Okay.
Anyway, but at a UTK in Knoxville, I think Syracuse –
UTA is UT Arlington.
I think certainly – Is that the Roadrunners? No, San Antonio.
No, that's UTSA.
But I do believe that Tennessee –
we can go through all of these.
Tennessee can get beat by Syracuse this year. I believe it.
I do too. I like Franz Brown's – I like his team. I like his approach. That's going to be an interesting game. I think one of the most overhyped teams so far, and we haven't even started, is Tennessee. I think they're getting
they're
a lot of love.
25,
I think they're getting a lot of love because of what they did last year. And everybody feels like just because they lost Nico, there's not going to be fall off. I disagree. I think there will be. All right, man, we got a lot more to get to, including the morning shift and their conversation with A.J. Terrell. What does our star corner have to say about where he's at, the defense, and more? It's coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the Odyssey app.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Suspended Vikings wide receiver Jordan Addison for the first three games of the 2025 season for violating the league's substance abuse policy.
Old-fashioned stuff.
He's going to miss Chicago, Falcons, and Bengals. That is a big loss for rookie quarterback and J.J. McCarthy, who's taken over that team, to not have Addison out there. But that news just coming down. Addison recently resolved a 2024 DUI citation by pleading no contest of a lesser charge. He can participate in the preseason, but he has been suspended without pay for the first three games. And, again, that means he will miss our game, which
– right.
I mean, is a big deal because they, you know, they'll throw somebody else out there. But you look at those two wide receivers for the Vikings, man. They are
so,
that's a tandem.
I mean, when we think substance abuse, you automatically think nowadays they're kind of letting weed go, and it would be something heavier. Or is it simply the substance is alcohol?
I think it's alcohol.
And that's because, this is the result, to your point, of the plea bargain with the DUI.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Now, where does it affect us? We're going to get to the conversation Midday Guys had just a sec, but you do play Justin Jefferson without him out there. That's a difference. That's a hell of a difference for your secondary.
Yeah, because you know you kind of have to choose and pick which one of those guys you're going to double depending on down.
And that's
distance.
Week 2 for us, right?
Vikings, yes, it is, and it's their home opener.
Right,
it's their home opener. So,
you know what? I mean, hey, we always talk about being a victim of circumstance with injuries and everything else, and what happened to us. But not having Jordan Addison out there, and now you can basically really kind of brace Justin Jefferson, not let him do the things he needs to do.
What's going on?
Sunday night. Yeah.
Oh, the Minnesota
NBC,
game.
Yeah.
All right. That news just coming down, guys. We want you to hear from AJ Terrell. We're live up here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. We were at camp today. We'll tell you the latest on what happened today and what we saw, what went down. Another good day of practice for Mike and I as far as just taking all the things in as we get ready for our first preseason game. We'll fill you in on all the blanks. Mike's got guy talk coming up. But the first thing that Mike Johnson asked AJ Terrell was more about the weather. Guys, they were outside yesterday. Today they were inside in their practice facility, and they were talking to AJ about whether he likes this kind of weather as far as playing in it, preparing for it. What did he think?
Got to lock in, it's one of them days, one of them dog days, I call it, but, just try to figure out how you're going to, catch the ball with gloves or without, but, at the end of the day, my job is to defend the pass, so, it was smooth for me.
You probably like it when you line up those wide receivers with them slippery hands. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about the offseason. Did you do anything fun? Obviously, hanging out with the family and other things like that, but did you do any traveling, any concerts, anything like that?
I did. I would just say... my daughter, she was newborn, so we didn't really do too much out of the country. But we went to New York and, I want to say, Florida, L.A., do some little kids' trips with the kids and take them to Disney World, things like that. Just staying local.
Yeah, love to hear.
Yep.
Hey, AJ, your brother is playing at Clemson. Has he asked you for any advice, or what is that relationship like?
Yeah, I'm proud of him. That's why I'm going to start by saying, I'm super proud of him. He definitely has been, holding his own while he's been up there. And, he showed me his clips and stuff. They just started camp, I want to say, 2 days ago. So, he already sending me a lot of clips on where he at, how they going to use him this season, with the new defense coordinator that they have. But, just him showing me the plays and things like that, just getting some info back from me. So he definitely been in connection with me as far as him playing better and what he could, do better. And also, the main thing I was telling him is try to take care of his body. Going into your junior year, I just feel like taking care of your body and being consistent is the main thing.
Last year we got a chance to catch up with you and talk about Avion. We asked you for prediction on Georgia-Clemson game. You got one for the Clemson-LSU game this year, or you want to keep it close to the vest?
Yeah, I'd probably say, 28-14 Clemson.
There you go.
Yeah, 28-14 Clemson.
And just so we're clear, Clemson is the real Death Valley.
Clear Death Valley. I can't wait. I'm going to be there full attendance. I don't know if I'm going to be on the sideline or try to go up in the crowd, but probably start off on the sideline probably the first half.
I hear you.
Yep.
I hear you. Joined by AJ Terrell here on the morning shift. All right, actually saw it today. Had a nice little pass breakup down in the end zone. How hard is it those moments where maybe you don't locate the ball early, or you might have the receiver might have a step here or there? I know it's rare for the receiver to have a step on you, but to trust your technique and everything you've been taught and not kind of just get handsy there.
Yeah, no panic. Just trying to play technique, like you said. Receiver kind of had to step on me, so I knew I couldn't look back right away. But trusting his eyes, the receiver's eyes, and knowing that the ball was on the way and being able to deflect the pass using his hands so he couldn't catch it.
Now you're an all pro. I mean, you've been an all pro, but it feels like you don't get put on some of these lists that high as up as you should be. Do you kind of use that to motivate you in the offseason to work on anything that maybe isn't a strength, or do you not try to listen to that outside noise?
No, I definitely don't listen to it, but it's definitely something that you see. We all human. We all on our phones. You definitely see it. But at the end of the day, just controlling what I can and playing at a high level week in, week out is the main thing. So, and it's starting practice, giving receivers the best look, and me holding myself accountable and to not give up any catches.
Well, speaking of controlling things you control, I'm curious to get your take. And obviously, as media and as fans, a lot of people looked post-bye week, after the bye week last year, you guys going into the stretch run of the season. Obviously, some ups and downs on defense prior to that. but, you know, you play the Minnesota game, other things like that. Were the changes to the defense after the bye week last year, were those overblown to the media and the fans, or did you actually feel that there was a difference in the way you guys were kind of attacking the offenses last year?
Yeah, I say, you know, going into bye week is always a good time during the season with, you know, seeing what our weaknesses was, how we were getting attacked, and having a switch up. And I think we came back that next week, or, you know, that next following game, and was able to play more matchy and be more handsy at the line, and it worked out for us.
Yeah. Do you prefer that uptight coverage right off the line of scrimmage with getting handsy, or do you like to give a little cushion? I mean, what's your preference as a DB?
Yeah, I like to be at the line. I'm more of an in-phase corner. I like to be at the line, and I love to play off too, but definitely like to, you know, be up in the receiver face.
Now, as a DB, when you see two guys taken in the first round that are edge rushers and they bring in Leonard Floyd, how happy do you get? Because that can make your life a lot easier at times.
Yeah, super happy. I feel like, you know, once I heard the draft picks, I couldn't believe it. I'm not even going to sit here and lie. I was super happy. Jalen Walker and James Pierce, definitely somebody that – some of the guys that we definitely needed, along with the guys that we already have, and added with Leonard Floyd, you know, DBs in the back end, you couldn't wish none better than a D-line and a rush, and I'm just glad to get to work with those guys.
It's the morning shift, hanging out with AJ Terrell out at Flowery Branch for Falcons training camp. Who are you rooming with out here?
I got Mike Hughes, I got D. Alford, and Clark Phillips.
Did you guys work out who's going to bring the console or anything?
Nah, see, last year we thought about it, you know. I think I want to say D. Alford brought it. This year I brought my own, but I sent it back to the house. I sent it back to the house because I feel like, you know, once you start hitting these dog days at camp, you just want to, you know, close your eyes, go to sleep. You can't really be on the game all night, and so I got it at the house with my son.
Finishing up with AJ Terrell. Last thing before we let you go, we talked to Jesse Bates last week. One of the answers that was more shocking to me was he said that James Pierce gets on the aux sometimes in the locker room. I couldn't believe you guys were allowing a rookie to get on the aux cord in the locker room. But talk to me about what he's playing. Talk to me about what you're listening to in there.
No, I couldn't believe it either. I'm like, y'all, you know, we got rookies changing the music.
Yeah.
But no, it was good music, though. You know, you probably think he listens to a lot of rah-rah music, but it's more chill, you know. So he definitely get the guy, everybody being there just bobbing their head all slow and just vibing. And, you know, anytime somebody changed the music in the locker room unexpectedly, everybody look at, you know, yeah, everybody look like, who is it? By the time you look, whoever changed it already beat on walked off.
Yeah.
So you see who the closest near the tablet. And a few times it been James, but, you know, you can't complain too much about the music. It's been good.
Yeah, that's what Jesse said. He was like, as long as he's getting sacks, I don't care what he's doing.
Getting sacks, music, everything vibing. So I'm on trip.
That is AJ Terrell, guys. Looking forward to him having another great year. He was talking about his brother at Clemson, who is a corner as well, and one of the highly touted corners in college football. But, Mike, it's funny because, you know, you talk about the locker room. We're using that term, the aux cord, which is,
right.
You know, you're plugging your music in and you're playing whatever. But it's got a loose environment, man. I mean, like, I got to be honest. I'm thinking back to years past here. We weren't talking too much about who was controlling the aux cord and the vibe inside the locker room. Like, that hasn't been a conversation. It's been a fun conversation here over the last couple of weeks.
One other thing today, we talked about this for guys who caught the beginning of the program live from Hooters Mall in Georgia, was Jake Matthews and Caleb McGarry. They get sort of the old guys exemption to leave practice. I mean, field turf. I know they play on field turf, but they don't like to be on field turf.
And correct.
They can avoid it. So the indoor facility today, the guys, it's funny, we joked around to Garrett Chapman, the effervescent Garrett Chapman. Guys, you're not going to believe this. I just saw Caleb McGarry and Jake Matthews leaving the facility. And I go, uh-oh. And I was like, are they getting treatment? We just found out they downplayed it. So that's one thing. But we have missed Storm Norton, though, one of the best backup swing tackles in the NFL. He has been out for 3 days now, so that is a concern.
It is. Jake, not concerned. We saw him yesterday. We talked to him yesterday. Caleb McGarry.
Jake said he feels better than ever.
Yeah, this is just, again, think of it as load management, rest reasons, and making sure that guys are fresh. But it was weird today because Brandon Parker and Jack Nelson got a lot of run at tackle.
Right.
And so we saw those guys who were, you know, are the backups getting a lot of snaps. Meanwhile, I got to mention this before we get to guy talk. Coming up, Falcon Report, you'll hear from Bijan Robinson as well. Grant's going to join us to talk about what's going on with the Braves and the latest there. And also our conversation with Ryan Neusel, starting center for Atlanta Falcons, who sat down with us today at training camp. Mary Kay Cabot's reporting that Shador Sanders is expected to start Friday night's preseason opener on the road against the Panthers.
Now, that's something I want to see.
And me too.
NFL Network, you better put it on before ESPN eats you up.
So, Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel are both nursing hamstrings.
And that's great news. See, that's the only way Shador Sanders, we believe in him. I don't think he's as bad as some NFL executives made it out to be pre-draft. But this is, we knew, Carl, when you're fourth on a draft, a depth chart, and you're drafted where he was, this is the only way injury's going to get you on the field.
Here's the thing, Mike, and this is what I'm curious about, because don't come in and try to do it. You don't have to be Superman, right? Just you're going to get a couple of series, whatever it's going to be.
But you should look good against his other team's backups.
Yes, and hopefully he does. We'll see. But this is how it starts. And right don't on. Let him, Mike, don't let him go off and throw a couple of touchdowns and a buck 50 and looks great, 11 or 13 or some craziness. You're going to feel the surge of energy that we think is already there. Hey, man, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man, one of our favorite guests, friend of the show, just had a movie come out, and nobody likes it. I'll tell you about that. Speaking of movies, the Mount Rushmore of Star Wars movies, Carl, in honor of Steak Shapiro's amazing programming technique. No, I'm kidding. We will talk about something that was on TV last night. And then Lonnie Anderson, we didn't get to talk about it yesterday. Her legacy, how it ties in with Atlanta. You might not know about how WKRP has ties to the A. I will explain. Coming up in Guy Talk, live from Hooters, where it's bike night. And these cats just rolled in on their hogs.
My man.
Right on. They're ready to rock and roll.
Is this bike out there?
Yep.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, live from Hooters, Guys Ball of Georgia, where the rain has stopped, at least here.
Yay!
Hopefully the rain has stopped where you are. It's bike night tonight, so Tuesday nights, every Tuesday here at Hooters, the first Tuesday of the month, everybody rolls in with their hog. So if you got a bike up in this neck of the woods, come on down. Hopefully weather will allow for it. Just talking real quick, shout out to Jesse at the bar.
What's up, Jesse?
He's pretending to work on his computer. I don't know what that's about. But Jesse, years ago, went and brought me a double, I think it was a double Jack and Coke at the Falcons game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, back when I was during the courtship of Becky.
Okay.
So it was kind of like, make me look like a
Becky. Back at the Dome?
Yeah. In the old section 124.
My man.
He sat next to a certain lady that used to dress in crazy outfits who allegedly scammed some people for their big pep rallies.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
In section 119.
Yeah. I'll say this about the Georgia Dome, and hopefully we got better days coming with Mercedes-Benz, just from a professional level, because we've been to college football games. We know how loud Mercedes can get. But the Dome, man, you know, Jesse, it rocked, bro. It was just like the level of noise in that place, and when it got going, it was incredible. We've seen that a couple of times, I'll say, with the Falcons, Mike. We've talked about this, but hopefully we got a lot more of those times coming here.
Yeah, man, and again, this is – and I want to clarify, because there's always – somebody with the Falcons will hear this and be like, ah.
It's the truth.
There's nothing against – look, we love Mercedes-Benz. It's state-of-the-art. Problem is, as we said, it just – we have too many folks who get in, and we'll probably have that experience maybe with the Bills when they come to town. It is what it is. It's just too many folks have access, and because there's so many things to do, whether it's, you know, in the Delta or the AMG Club, you got so many folks that are down there. You know what drives me crazy? It's that four deep behind the bench. So when you watch TV, the best seats in the house from the 20 to 20 are sitting there empty.
Yeah.
I'll never understand that. I know that's the casual fan. Corporate hospitality is the buzzword, but you know, we do still enjoy thinking back to the days of the Dome.
Yeah.
You know, the old section 124.
Well, part of it is, to your point, Mike, I mean, it was simpler. Just forget about the ticket prices and all the you know, the private seat license and stuff. You didn't need all the amenities to please everybody.
Right. And this goes back to that corporate hospitality thing. I'm not in corporate hospitality. I'm not a corporate person. And I know that business deals get made in suites and all those luxury things. I'm old-fashioned. I'm trying to sound like Clint Eastwood and Gran Torino and get off my lawn. I don't need any of the bells and whistles, but we have some of the best bells and whistles in the NFL.
We do. Our stadium experience is great. I mean, we get rated highly every year. I'll say this, too. If you've been down there in the, you know, Delta Club or wherever down
there, it's amazing.
It is amazing. I mean, like, honestly, like, the experience is really cool. And I understand. I took Turtle to a game a couple of years ago, his first Falcon game. He didn't want to leave. He was like, you mean the drinks are included? Yes, Turtle, the drinks are included. I can eat as much as I want. He couldn't believe it. He was like, this is why people don't want to come out and watch the game.
Right. So I like to stay in my seats. Also, where I sit in 342, and again, guys, if you're up at the Mercedes-Benz, I gave my tickets away for preseason, but if you are at the games, you can always come by and see us 342 because we're always at halftime in that little bar right there. Always have a good time because that's important, Carl. Bathroom breaks. The bathroom is right there.
Where you're going.
And the liquor bar is right there as well. All right, man. One of our good friends, Ice Cube, we're a friend of the show. We've had him in studio a number of times.
Yay, yay.
Did you know Ice Cube had a movie, War of the Worlds?
I just saw it on Prime. I have not watched it. I just saw the preview. Is it a movie or is it a TV show?
It is a movie.
Okay. No, and I just saw the previews.
And I hadn't seen it yet, so I don't know. It's apparently the plot described by Variety. A computer security analyst working for the U.S. government finds his daily life disrupted by an alien attack. It's gotten 0% likes on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
It's gotten, let me repeat. Now, we love Ice Cube.
Zero.
Now, maybe I know why when Ice Cube was in studio just a few months ago, he didn't mention one word about this movie. Perhaps Ice Cube was aware of what he had just gotten himself involved in.
Let me ask you this, though. Look, the remake worked really good.
Right.
What else can you do with this?
No, maybe, though, he'd have annoying children. By the way, show of hands at the bar. In the War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise, were you rooting for Dakota Fanning and the brother to get killed by the aliens? I was. Those guys were so annoying.
Yeah.
The kid and with the Red Sox hat and throwing the – I mean, you wanted to smack the
kid around.
The
temper tantrum?
Oh, I hated that kid from the jump.
But that was
I would have left those kids in the house and just gotten in the van.
But to your point, that was a good remake.
It's fantastic.
Right?
Steven Spielberg.
I loved it. So I just don't know what else you could do with this. But no, I've not watched it. I've not seen it. I just saw the previews of it.
Yeah, reviews have not done well. Popcorn Meter, I'm not familiar with that. 12% approval on 500 verified reviews.
Yikes.
And in the words of Dean Wormer in Animal House, 0.0 for John Blutarski, grade point average for the Rotten Tomatoes review of Ice Cube, War of the Worlds.
Cube could have jumped in this movie for a big check. You just never know. I mean, like, he's like, whatever. They dropped a lot of money on me.
Right. And we always have fun with Cube because every time we have him, I always joke around that he should have the special Oscar category for being the first black actor to survive a science fiction movie. He never gets killed.
This is
true. We survived, like Anaconda.
Yes.
Right? Remember that?
We absolutely.
Talked about that. He goes, yeah, had that to script me and J-Lo go make it.
Yeah, he said, I was not going to do the movie if they killed me off.
Right.
That's what he told us.
Pretty funny. Hey, man, I didn't get to it yesterday, but iconic American blonde bombshell, and apparently a very bright woman, but always thought of in the role of Jennifer Marlowe, the receptionist on WKRP in Cincinnati. Alani Anderson passed away just 2 days shy of her 80th birthday.
Wow.
A couple days back. And I didn't get a chance to mention it. I loved part of the reason I got into radio, in addition to growing up listening to Imus and Howard Stern back in the day in New York, was I loved WKRP in Cincinnati. Love that show. Now, for some of our younger audience, for Gen Z guys, you might not remember. You can maybe see it on some of the, you know, it's on YouTube and also on Nickelodeon, where they run the old TV Land stuff. But it really, Carl, you can speak to this, capture the essence of what a radio station is about.
Yeah, I mean, not knowing what I knew at the time, it just looked fascinating. And then when you get into this, and I was lucky enough. I wouldn't trade my experience for anything. But being in starting in music, on the music side, it was exactly like the television show. When you talk about the personalities, the makeup of the radio station, the sales managers, the general manager, like it was just a perfect correlation to the real-life business. And I think, Mike, that was the thing. Like some people thought that, oh, it's not really like that.
It's exactly like that.
Yes.
And for those who don't know, it is pretty interesting. The creator of the show had worked for a time in Atlanta at WQXI. So for guys who don't know the backstory on this one, yeah, there is a connection there. It goes all the way back from Hugh Wilson's time working at WQXI, which is an AM top 40 station. Dr. Johnny Fever, that was based on Skinny Bobby Harper, who was the morning, the wacko morning host back on the day. Quixie and Dixie, WQXI. I did get to know the guy that Herb Tarlick was based on. I shouldn't probably say his name if he's got folks around. Well, anyway, he does live here in Atlanta. He's still alive. I used to work out at my gym, at Gym of Buckhead.
Okay.
And much like Herb Tarlick, he was always impeccably dressed, Carl, even for the gym. Drove a Mercedes.
Bow tie.
and was incredibly – all right, I'll just say it, Clark Brown. Anyway, Clark's the guy, and he was – I mean, I presume he's still around. If everyone knows, you can hit me up at Mike Bell ATL. And we had a great boss at the old Star 94 when I was working at 790, Mark Kanoff, who got to work at the tail end of WQXI. And he's a big listener of Dukes and Bell. But anyway, yeah, so when they did the turkey drop from the airplane on WKRP for Thanksgiving, they didn't actually drop turkeys from Tower Place. They apparently dropped turkeys from the back of a truck. And the turkeys apparently just splatted all over Peachtree. So some of that stuff
is
based on WKRP, based on WQXI here in Atlanta. Hey, man, last night, checked into the hotel here in Swinging Buford. Problem for me this weekend, I just texted Carl before I rolled in today. Got no action. I got no wingman. G Money's going back to the ranch. Day Day's going back home. You're going back to your crib. Two of the guys I usually run with are out of commission. Steve just got a shoulder replacement.
Yep.
And another guy's out with knee surgery. So are you up for tonight? All right, I got a wingman. All right, we got our boy. Okay. Because I got nothing to do. I was in the hotel room at 7:30 last night.
What are you supposed to do up here?
Get some action. Go drink. Just go to the Mexican joint.
What's supposed to be going on up here?
Fellowship, exactly. Friendship. You know, you and me bonding like we used to bond.
You act like we're in the city and we're going down to the spot. Again, go get some lemon pepper wings or something.
Play it again, Orrin. Gwinnett's popping.
It is popping.
Thank you. By the way, put that on a billboard and give me a piece of the action.
Yeah, I got a few things that are going on. I just, right, unfortunately. Where are y'all going? Where are y'all going?
I don't know.
I'd like to meet up, but I don't know.
You want to go to a Mexican joint? Where do you want to go? All right, we're going to a Mexican joint.
Okay.
It's good. It's a good time. Two levels. You know, you've been there with
me. Oh, yeah. It's good. It's a good spot.
So, no, last night I get in the hotel room. Braves game, they don't have FanDuel in the hotel. So, yet I'd watch it on the phone, which I hate.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You know, eventually I wised up, put it on the iPad. So, the Braves game was over. They had 3 hits and 30 at bats. It was freaking terrible. Only offense was Jurickson Profar. There's nothing going on.
You should have been drinking last night.
Well, but I'm not going to see, never drink alone. That's a sign.
You should have been drinking.
No. Drinking alone in a hotel room, that's a red flag.
Well, said, I never drink in a hotel room. Is there a bar there?
It's a Hampton Inn.
Oh, my bad.
What's going on?
My bad. Okay.
Some buddy who looks like one of the Simpsons sisters smoking a Virginia Slim outside the motor lobby. Oh, I love it. I love the 100s. You get more flavor. There's nothing going on. But anyway, where was I? Afterwards, I can't go to sleep. Forgot to get melatonin. So Rogue One starts.
Yeah.
And once again, even with the commercials, I know what? I'm even putting Rogue One over, like, Empire Strikes Back.
Stop it.
Rogue One is now my favorite Star Wars movie of all of them.
Stop it.
Because you know how much I hate the last three. But I'm Rogue, or if not number one, then it's number two behind Empire. I love Rogue One.
No, it's a great movie. And a standalone movie in which you don't have to know the full storyline.
Yeah.
You can just watch Rogue One, and it's so damn good.
He's playing Bill Murray doing Star Wars. It's Star Wars, not our wars.
Our wars.
No, I got into it, and yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you.
A little creepy. They could probably do the AI better, how they reanimate Governor Tarkin, played by the late Peter Cushing.
Yeah. But,
and then Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia. They could probably up. That does look a little creepy.
If you, only because you know she's not here. Right.
It looks a little goofy.
If you really like Rogue One, I would tell you watch Andor on Disney. Mm. And because it's the prequel to.
It takes you right to it, right?
Yes. It takes you from how he gets to, ultimately, that movie, right? And it's just great. I mean, it's so much more involved in the backstory. But they did a really good job with Andor. I think there's 2 seasons, I believe there is.
Yeah.
But anyways, right. Mike, I'm with you. Rogue One is one of my favorites. I can't put it over Empire, though. Only because of the nostalgia as a kid when I saw Empire and what it did to me. It was the movie that drug me into being a Star Wars freak. So I can't put this one over that, because that is like – I can't relive that. With my friends and everybody going nuts and we're like, oh, I'm going to be Darth Vader. I want to be that was the whole thing.
Right. Remember my dad? Remember the old man? We're at a Mets game. It's like a rainout. And it's typical. There's nothing going on. Mets are terrible in 77. They just traded Tom Seaver. The old man looks at me. He's like, you want to go see that Star Wars? So we go. I think it was the Flushing Odeon.
Yeah.
And so Star Wars, but the old man, he loved it.
Here's a real quick story. The Jaws 50th anniversary just happened this year, just a few months ago. And Spielberg, they did this whole thing about the making of Jaws. I was talking about this. Mike, maybe you were out. About how they made 3 sharks and the animatronics.
And it never worked.
No. Literally, you had guys in the water doing the shark's head. It was just incredible to think how they filmed this movie. But they show when the movie came out and how there were lines down the street to see Jaws.
And not seeing the shark just built up the suspense. It actually made the movie work better.
But talking about crowds and going to see those movies, like the big releases, like you just forget. And I don't know if we'll ever get back to that. But like, you know, when Barbie came out, and what was the other movie, Mike? The nuclear, a couple of summers ago.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer, right? Everybody was all, we got to go see Barbie and Oppenheimer. It was great, but it wasn't like people down the street lined up to get into the movies. It was incredible. And so I thought about that because that's how it was for Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
You and I were joking around that summer. It's like if you go in to see Barbie and you win in the Oppenheimer Theater, you really are confused. And you have a hard time with the plot from the jump. Hey, man, one last nugget. We'll get in depth in this maybe later in the week. We get more information. But a couple of websites. Day-Day was just telling us during the commercial break. Trey's probably in his bag a little bit about not getting a contract extension. We'll dive into it. But there are some signs out there. He was responding, for what it's worth. Trey, I follow him on social media. He was commenting on the Micah Parsons soap opera in Dallas, basically backing up Micah Parsons to get paid. So you think we're going to have a situation with Trey here?
I think he's trying to press the issue. I don't think we're going to have a situation.
I would love to see how he functions with the best team possibly since the spring of 21 before I give him the big contract. He might not see it that way.
Yeah, and I'm not telling him we know he can play, but I'm with you. You don't have to do this right now. You can let the season play out. The problem is he's feeling some kind of way because he's like, if you love me the way you say you love me, you do this
but
before
the season.
But
we're not popping a max deal on him right now.
Well, look, Luka just signed, 3 years?
Right.
Whatever it was, 165, 227, whatever it is.
Take the smaller deal like LeBron does, ball out with these guys, and you can write your own future and get another big. I mean, a couple of ways to look at it. But anyway, once we get more info, we'll see where it goes. We'll put some feelers out with his dad because we know that Ray's always listening, watching, judging.
He is.
Hey, man, we're live at Hooters Mall of Georgia, guys. Falcons, what do we see indoors today? Thanks for taking us indoors, Coach Raleigh. We get wet.
We're going to talk about it. You hear from Bijan Robinson as well as he talked about his teammates, including the center that you'll hear from, and Ryan Neuzel, what his demeanor is day to day. We'll talk to Grant McCauley as well. But when we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win some tickets as we're live from Hooters Mall of Georgia location here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.